This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Took a breath, you heard me cry. With so much love, you breathed your life into those tiny hands, into that tiny heart, into that tiny soul. And I've wondered why. But you had a plan, you had a reason before the world began. All creation speaks of your love, created, defined its life in man. My mother's womb, you knew me. Before I took a breath, you heard me cry. With so much love, you breathed your life into those tiny hands, into that tiny heart, into that tiny soul. Now I know why. You had a plan, you had a reason before the world began. All of creation speaks of your love, created to find its life in man.
That song is for, goes out to our friend that we all love, Pastor Ernie Sanders. You know, for all these years, he's been trying to save lives along with Joel Larson, Hal Larson, Randy, John McTernan. You listen to him all the time. That's by Steve Ragsdale called Tiny Hands. And folks, I want to thank you for all the years that you've been a faithful supporter of this ministry. And we can't be on the air. I can't be on the air. Pastor Sanders, none of his guests. Because we're listener-supported, and I want to thank each and every one of you. So if you would like to help out, remember, here's what you do. A check, a money order, or you can go to PayPalWRWL.com. That's PayPalWLWR.org, rather, excuse me. PayPalWLWR.org. That's for that. And our mailing address is WRWL 14781. Sperry Road, Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. That's WRWL 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, Ohio, 44065. And if you'd like to come visit us for the church where I attend with Pastor Mark Valeni, we're at the People's Baptist Church. Our address is 1655 Pearl Road, Brunswick, Ohio. That's off of Route 42 in the Drug Mart Plaza. That's People's Baptist, 1655 Pearl Road, Brunswick, Ohio. Pastor Mark Valeni, you come to our church, you'll learn about the truth, what's going on. You'll learn that the King James Bible is a complete word of God, but you'll also learn spiritually how to grow, how to handle these things. You know, John, we talked about all the stuff that's going on in the world, but what people don't understand or they miss sometimes, if you know Jesus and you're a born-again Christian, you're not going to practice homosexuality. You're not going to be going getting drunk. You're not going to get high. You're not going to break windows out. You're not going to riot. You're not going to loot. You're not going to vote Democrat. You're going to help one another. You're going to help the needy, help the poor. You're going to be a blessing. We're going to help one another's burdens. We're going to pray for one another. You wouldn't do these crazy things if you knew our Savior, would they, John?
Well, let me read the answer from Scriptures, okay? We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you in the past.
Yeah.
And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So people live in sin, and it says that they were taken out of it by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're not born a homosexual.
Amen.
You're not born a child molester. You're not born a drunkard or a criminal. These are things our sin nature leads us to. And God says that if you turn to Christ, repent of it, and he will forgive you of the sin and bring you out of it.
Amen. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and save those which was lost. Jesus came to save sinners. Every one of us, hearing my voice, we're all sinners. You know, once you get saved, what happens is the Bible in Colossians says there's a spiritual circumcision that takes place. The Holy Spirit comes in inside of your body and separates your spirit and your soul from your body. Therefore, your soul and spirit can no longer sin, but your body, the flesh nature, comes. And then Jesus washes your soul and spirit with his blood, and he puts his seed in you. And his seed produces after his own kind. We have a corruptible seed from Adam. But when we're born again, we have an incorruptible seed that we, our spirit and soul will never sin. That's why we can't lose our salvation. But if we get away from the Word of God and we turn and we quit reading the Bible and we quit going to church, our sin nature will cause us to drift back into the world. And John, you'd be surprised how many Christians never heard that preaching before.
Yeah, I agree with you, but it's what we need. It's the truth.
Yeah.
We need the truth. We don't need things covered over and fluff. I mean, the truth, the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
So the truth can be hard, Coach.
Yes. You know,
it can be hard. The truth can be cutting. So the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love.
And that's what we do, John. I've always wanted, for years I was involved with the charismatic Pentecostal movement. I've said it before on the radio. I was never spoken tongues, never slain in spirit, because I was saved at an early age at People's Baptist when I was 11, between 11 and 13. I was saved. That's why I never fell backwards. That's never why I went shandalakai, shalababai, shalakama, all this gibberish nonsense. That stuff doesn't save a person. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you know, the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit is, folks, that drunkard no longer is drunkard. He's not beating up his wife. He's not taking his paycheck and gambling away. That guy that's on drugs, that's spending his whole life getting blown away and listening to rock music and having casual sex, when he gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, cleans him up. He cleans himself. He cuts his hair. He goes to church. He becomes a man. He takes care of his family. Those are the initial evidence of a Holy Spirit, a person who's fighting anger and brawls and loves beating people up. When Jesus comes in and changes his heart, he turns around and now he wants to be forgiven. He's sorry. Now he goes out and he helps people. He works at the missions. He helps the needy and the poor. That, John, is the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes, a changed life. That's exactly how the fruit. There you go. It's the fruit of our life that tells us that we are genuine.
Yeah.
You know, we might, I heard someone preach once about this, and they said, we're to be fruit inspectors when it comes to people.
Nice.
You know them by their fruits. So we're fruit inspectors. And God's fruit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit that we should be showing. Now, no, we got to grow into it, and we still might have a short temper and all.
Sure.
We lack temperance, but that's, we should be growing in those areas, growing in grace, and God's grace working in us.
Oh, absolutely, John. 100%. I couldn't have said it better. Long-suffering. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to visit somebody that's in the hospital. We are to go over when our neighbor needs help and he's hurting without waiting to be asked. We are to go over and offer help. If we know somebody's struggling and they're going to turn their electric off, don't blow your horn. Help the guy. Pay the husband and the wife's bill. We are our brother's keeper. Bear one another's burdens. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Not just, oh, I said a prayer 30 years ago. Okay, you said a prayer 30 years ago, accepted Christ. I look at your fruit. You don't go to church. You don't read the Bible. You're out doing your own thing. You're living like the worldly. You never pray. You never thank God. Where is your fruit on your tree? Are you really saved or not?
There's another angle in this. A true disciple, Jesus tells us what his disciples are. One of them is, if you continue in my word, then you should be my disciple indeed, right?
Right.
Then another one is by love. If you love one another, you are my disciples. So we can't be tearing at each other. I mean, seriously, the way the world knows that we are a believer in Jesus Christ is by love. And then, of course, his word. His word is the basis. That's our inner strength. That's our inner being with God, is his word.
Absolutely. When I read the Bible, that's God talking to me. When I pray to God, I'm talking to God. My Bible tells me, I always, every 6 months, I go back and I read the first 7 chapters of Proverbs. Why? Well, Dwayne Risco wants to make sure that he's lining up. And when chastisement comes around, it's a good thing for Dwayne when God takes Dwayne to the woodshed. Why? Because God makes me empty my garbage can. How are you living? What are you watching? Where are you going? Who are you hanging around with? How much time are you spending to me? Are you fasting at all? Do you really pray for other people? God has a way of opening up my eyes, and I look back and say, you know, Lord, I hide nothing from you, Father. Yeah, you're right. I didn't do this. Yeah, you're right. I neglected there. Well, he does this. So, Dwayne, I want you to have a better life. Not like these prosperity preachers, but Dwayne, I'm going to put you through some stuff so you can help others who are sickness, who are suffering in pain. You could help other people that lost loved ones. You could be a witness, be a light, be a fruit bearer for other people and be an encouragement. As a coach, I had to know 20 guys, different personalities. This one you holler at, this one you kick in the butt, this one you put your arm around, this one you lift up. Well, that's what God does. God has a way of correcting us. If we get in the Word and read the first 6 chapters of Proverbs, I challenge every single one of you who are struggling with problems, who are struggling with anger, who's having love relationships, family relationships, work problems, get in there and read and let God talk to you, and then check the book off and say, are you doing those things? Are you doing what God said? And if you do what he says, can he lie, John?
It's impossible for God to lie. It is impossible.
So if you read it and God says, I will do this, if you do that, it's going to come to pass, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it may take time, but it'll come to pass.
That's our hope, John. That's why when you get on the radio with John, with Pastor Sanders all these years, you're warning the congregation of all the bad that's taking place. You guys are the watchmen week after week, warning people, look at what the government's doing. Look at what the school's doing. Look at how these false churches are doing. Look at these false. You're warning the people not to scare them, but to wake up, people, if you're in these situations, turn, repent, go the other direction, get the truth, and it'll set you free. God will make you free from deception and lies. That's what's right, what's left radio ministry is another thing. They're helping you to learn so that you can grow, not just to help yourself, but you can help your family, your friends, and your neighbors.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. We are to represent Jesus Christ here on earth, and that's what is very important, and we don't want to do anything to mar our witness of him.
Absolutely. You know, John, I'll give you a quick example. Back when my mother on her 79th birthday was having a triple bypass, and I was in the waiting room there, you know, and there's other people that go in there too. And just over to my left-hand side, there was this door open. There was a Catholic priest, and there was about 12 people in there, men and women, different ages, and about eight of them had all red eyes. You knew they were crying. And, you know, I'm sitting there listening, and the priest goes, well, you know, it's God's will. There's nothing we can do. If he makes it, he makes it. If he don't, it's all in God's hands. There's really nothing we can do but just to sit here and just wait. I got up out of my chair, and I walked over, and I said, excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? And the lady, she was crying real heavy. She came out, and I go, listen, let me tell you something. I hope I'm not stepping out of place, but, you know, Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Yes, part of my family does. My other half doesn't. I says, God can use this opportunity. If you get the rest of your family over here and pray to God and tell God, Lord, we love the person that's going through surgery. Please don't take them. Save their soul. Lord, draw us closer together. I says, God can turn around and move and be a light. He can hear your prayer and answer prayer. And it's not over. You just sit and wait. You call out to God. Pray to God. Open your heart to him, and he can move. About an hour later, those two or three of those people came in and thanked me for giving hope. Where did I get the hope? I read the Word. I studied what God had to say, how he's our hope, how he's our shield, how he's our buckler. We can call him in a time of trouble. We can call him in a time of distress. His arms aren't too short that he can't reach, and his ears not too quiet that he cannot hear. That's what What's Right, What's Left ministry has helped me through the years as well, folks.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
John, you got any articles that you wanted to read tonight?
Yes, I do. And I feel really impressed to share with everyone how dangerous we are in, because it's not being proclaimed. It's like, oh, yeah, Putin just threatened America with nuclear weapons. And it's, you know, let me put this in context.
Sure.
Hitler, we'll take Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler wrote Mein Kampf, which is my story, my life, like my story, I think it's in German. And in it, he wrote and put and said what he was going to do. When he became the Chancellor of Germany, he was going to do this, this, and this. And a lot of it was racial, and a lot of it was against the Jews. So people read it, or they read excerpts or whatever and said, oh, that he's not really going to do that. No one will do that. No. We had the French government and the British government in 1938. Oh, it's called the Munich Conference, where they appeased Hitler, and Roosevelt was behind it also. And they didn't. He said what he was going to do. He wrote out what he was going to do, and they didn't believe him. They made this treaty with him, this appeasement. And Hitler ended up gobbling up more land, and he ended up attacking Poland, and he ended up with World War II, and he wrote about all of that. He ended up trying to wipe Judaism off, especially out of Europe and all. He did exactly what he said he was going to, in speeches. You know, we see those famous speeches,
yeah,
or infamous speeches of Hitler, and he's telling what he's going to do, and he did it. Now, Putin says he's got nuclear weapons. He said he's going to nuke us under certain circumstances. In fact, I laid them out in my blog. There were 11 issues which would trigger Russia to use nuclear weapons, right?
Yeah.
He says he's going to defend Ukraine or these four new provinces that he claims are Russian. He's going to defend them like they were Russian land. he said that under these 11 issues, he will use nuclear weapons. Well, these issues are in play. And he's sent this submarine out that this isn't, I'm not making it up, this is known, this submarine that can wipe out like the East Coast of the United States. He's got bombers. He's got intercontinental ballistic missiles. And his army is third world, but it's a third world army with nuclear weapons.
That's a game changer.
So if the man says he'll nuke us, that's like not paying attention, like they didn't pay attention to Hitler.
Good point.
Man, we should be on our knees. The churches should be calling prayer every night. The pastors should be repenting from the pulpit. I mean, what? Let's put it this way. Does he have nuclear weapons?
Yeah.
Does he have the delivery system?
Yeah.
Yes. Has he threatened to use them against us?
Yes.
What more do we need? Oh, no, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't use nuclear weapons. Oh, yeah, well, Hitler won't try to exterminate Judaism. Hitler wouldn't start a war because Germany wants to expand eastward, and particularly eastward, and they wanted to wipe out the Polish people and the Russian people, and they wanted to make that all living land for the Germans and all. He did it. Now, he wasn't successful, but he did what he wrote. He did it. So why are we so cavalier with Putin, and we've got wickedness in our land? I mean, we are committing sins as a nation legally under the Supreme Court and all, and under states, that you have to go back to maybe Sodom, but definitely the days of Noah.
And you're seeing what they're doing with our little kindergartens, first grade, third grade, fourth graders. I mean, it's in our face. They're giving God the middle finger. They're saying, we don't care what you say. We're in control. And when you got an attorney general here at Merrick Garland, he's going to be at that white throne judgment. That man's going to shake in no fear like he never did. And everybody that agrees with him, Director Ray at the FBI, he's going to be at that white throne judgment. He's going to be on his knees shaking in fear. They're going to hear the roar of that lake of fire. Unless they repent of their sins, God help us, because when you're living in a lifestyle like this and you're letting this stuff go on in America, you're protecting homosexual pedophilia and the raping of our little children, and you're going after Christians and conservatives, God help you.
Well, right, exactly. But our nation, this is permeating us now.
Yeah.
It's permeating our schools. It's like here in where I live, there's a major food store called Kroger's, and it's a very nice store, and we've been going to it, and it's very high-quality food and all. Then I found out that Kroger's is supporting the Black Lives Matter, and they're supporting the transgendered movement on children and everything else. Who knows what else they're supporting?
Unreal.
I went, and I confronted the store manager, and she admitted it. And she said, well, we're diverse here and we support everyone. I said, well, do you support women that are in need in crisis pregnancy centers? So we were staring at each other. I wasn't intimidating. I was just looking in her eyes, and she looked in my eyes, and then she smirked. And I said, you don't, do you? I said, you are a hardcore leftist organization here.
Good
and
for
I
you.
Said, you are. I could tell. I said, you are hardcore leftist. You will not get another penny from me.
Good for you.
Another penny. I mean, but so our businesses are polluted by this. Our businesses are supporting this. The schools, the colleges, that's where this thing got fueled from, I believe.
Marxism.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, the Black Lives Matter and the whole, especially
Antifa.
Antifa. So it's permeating all of America, the Democrat Party, even some of the Republicans, the rhinos, quite a few of them are soft on this. You know, homosexual marriage is like a constitutional right. Folks, it's permeated America. We are in trouble. We're in deep trouble with the Lord.
John, when I was talking with Pastor Parks the other day, and I deal with people like you do on a regular basis, I can't keep my mouth shut if I walk in a store and somebody says, you know, what's wrong with abortion? It's a woman's right. And I'll look and say, excuse me, do you mind telling me what crime that little boy or girl in your mother's womb did to commit the death penalty? And they look at you, and it's like this, John. Grab a big slingshot. Put a ball bearing in it. And now, John, take that slingshot, stick it out as far as you can, and pull it back as far as you can, and let it go. Fling! That's how these people's brains are. They cannot tell the difference between right from wrong anymore, just what you've been saying.
That's what I said. They're living in delusions.
Yeah.
They're living in delusions. And these delusions are, folks, you got to understand that this is a process. These delusions are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're heading towards the ultimate delusion. Is that when the Antichrist, as the Bible calls him, the man of sin,
yep,
the beast, is on, when he presents himself, these people have no way, they live in delusions to determine truth from or right from wrong, good and evil. But it's like Hitler. You know, Germany was under a delusion with Hitler, and they couldn't discern. They were all emotional, and he spoke real good and charismatic and power. And they followed him in droves.
Like Barack Obama when he got elected?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, there was when I seen them growing men, I'm a white guy. God created me white. I had black ball players, so don't anybody say I'm a racist because you're a liar. What I'm saying is when I see growing men, black and white, crying the night that he accept that he won the election, supposedly, and they're crying, I'm like, oh, my God. They're crying like they did when the Beatles landed in 64. You got to be kidding me.
I want to share something here to show where this is heading. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, iniquity, folks, is a unique sin. Well, it's not unique. It's a special brand of sin. It's fornication, it's adultery, it's killing the children. You'll see this in Leviticus 18. Homosexuality, bestiality, this is Bible identifies as iniquity. And there are some other things. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that means hold back, will hold back until he be taken out of the way. Okay? God's Holy Spirit will, at some point, God's Holy Spirit, which restrains this spirit of Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity, will be taken back, and it'll be like a dam busting of sin covering the whole earth. Then shall that wicked be revealed. That is the beast, the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The spirit of his mouth is the word of God. And the brightness of his coming is when he's in his full glory. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now listen to this. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. They love sin.
Yeah.
And they're deceived. They're in a delusion. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The truth. They will not receive the truth. They're deceived. They're in delusion. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion.
Yep.
God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Wow. Yeah.
And then it says, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, folks. And if someone thinks a man can have a baby, you think that that's a delusion?
I say, John, you're off your nut when they say that. Not you, but anybody who says that. You guys have lost. It's one flew over the cuckoo's nest. I'm sorry.
Right. That they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure and unrighteousness. They love sin. So, folks, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They have turned from the truth. They believe lies rather than the truth. They reject God and his word and Jesus Christ. And what does it say? They're going to be sent a strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
And you know how dangerous that is? They're going to end up taking the mark of the beast, and they will end up spending eternity in the lake of fire where there will burn and burn and burn, and their bodies will never burn up, just like when Moses was up on the mountain and he seen that bush burning, but the burning wasn't consumed. They will be in the lake of fire burning with the false prophet and the beast, and eventually the devil goes there. And God says, you're going to take this strong delusion like John just read to you. That means you're going to take the mark of the beast, and you have no chance of ever being saved. It's over. God drew a line in the sand with you.
Yeah. Once people receive the mark of the beast, that means they're rejecting God and that they are giving themselves over to the beast. That mark means you belong to him. It's like a tattoo.
Yeah.
Where you receive a tattoo that marks you as like some group. And it's a worship. It's a religious system. It's a worship system.
Yeah, it is.
To worship the beast and his image and take the mark. That all goes together. So it's complete delusion. You got evil, the man of sin, the son of perdition, as the Bible calls him, the beast, the Antichrist, and people are going to reject Jesus Christ. They're going to reject eternal life with God because they're in a delusion, and they're going to accept the most evil person. He's like Hitler on steroids.
Oh, without question. And John. And John, in Revelation chapter 13, starting with verse 15, they even make an image. He goes into the temple and calls himself God, and he sits in there, and he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and that cause as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man could buy nor sell, save he hath the mark of the name of the beast or the number of him. Here is wisdom. Let him hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is a number of the man, and his number is 666. I said that to lead you to this. Folks, you ever hear of Olive Tree Ministries? Go on YouTube and type in Olive Tree Ministries, Jan Markell. Jan Markell on YouTube, you will see a show called Becoming God with guests Mark Henry and Billy Crone. Billy Crone is fabulous. What you'll see in the video, now I send it to Hal Larson, I send this to Ernie, perhaps he can forward it to you because I don't have your forward information and other pastors. Here, they have Klaus Schwab and other world leaders talking about AI, artificial intelligence. They're telling you, like you just read about Mein Kampf, how they told you exactly what they're going to do. Klaus Schwab says, we are going to put a chip in mandatory in every person's brain on planet Earth. We can make super elite transhuman. You will see a man come on there in one of his speeches saying how they are going to be the next generation, the first generation to become immortal through science. They're going to take half humans, half robots with chips and turn immortality. And I said all this to say this for your response. Remember when they opened up CERN and CERN opened up the portal to dark matter and Stephen Hawking, the scientist, warned them, don't do this. You're playing with danger. Once they open all that, look at how this transhuman, transgender, drag queens, everything exploded, John. I said that. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. You're right. I mean, what they were doing was creating, I don't know if people fully understand CERN, but what they were doing is they were actually creating another dimension. So they had these super high speed accelerators, and they were ramming coming at each other at like this, I don't know how fast, I mean, really fast. And when they hit, they would release energy and all, but it would create another dimension. And that's what, from our point of view, is what other dimension is there? But this, we got this dimension. What is the other dimension? Well, that's the spiritual realm, right?
Yeah, like remember in Luke chapter 2 when the shepherds were out grazing in the fields, and then the heavens opened up and they seen all these angels coming back. There was a portal that opened up into the third heaven. So what were they messing with?
Yeah, so here, they're not opening up a portal with the Lord, they're opening up a portal to the demonic.
Yes.
So the good thing, the energy crisis in Europe has shut down CERN. CERN is not operating anymore.
That we know about.
I don't think it takes so much energy, so much electricity to run it. that they had to shut it down.
Well, if they shut it down, they surely did some damage in that time.
Yes, yes. Now, I mentioned my blog earlier. Yeah. On my blog, I have a section called the 666 Surveillance System. And if you go in there, I have tons, I mean, a whole incredible amount of information like you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I post the fresh stuff, and then I have an archive. So if people want to go in there, if they want to really find out what Klaus Schwab is doing, the World Economic Forum, and the New World Order, if you want to find out about the days of Noah. See, in the days of Noah, they were manipulating human DNA, and that's what they're doing now. They are creating monsters.
That's
right,
a great point, John. Yeah. That is outstanding. Yeah. Point. I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's another sign we're in the days of Noah. But folks, since we've been talking about this and Coach brought it up, I want to share from you Revelation 14 about the mark of the beast. Now, remember, the mark of the beast is like a seal into worshiping the beast, the Antichrist, who is indwelled by Satan, the most evil person that, like I said earlier, he's like Hitler on steroids. Now, here's what the Bible says. And the third angel followed them. This is Revelation 14:9, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. This is a full dose into the cup of his indignation. That's his anger. He's outraged at this. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they shall have no rest day or night that worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. This is a warning, folks.
Yeah.
Please turn. This whole thing is heading towards this beast system. It's heading towards all of the things the Bible warns is coming. It's been like turned loose now. We're like, it's accelerating, Coach.
It's like somebody, John, it's like somebody took a cement block and threw it on the gas pedal. I meet people all the time that say, Coach, the last 3 years, can you believe all this stuff that is this filth and this anger and this rage? And can you believe it, how fast it's going? I say, no, it blows my mind. Some days I turn around and say, you know, Lord, I don't belong down here anymore. When are you coming to get us? Father, how much longer can you look at this stuff? We are the scum of the earth. We're the ones that if we believe in you, they say we should believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. They mock us. They ridicule. They make fun out of you. Lord, when are you coming to get us out of this place? It's become a nut house.
Yeah, well, thank you for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I always felt, now I've been with the Lord now almost 50 years.
God bless you.
And I always felt that when the Lord was coming for us, we would know it and we'd want to be with him. You know, I mean, life here was nice, kind of. You could have a nice job, let's say, and, you know, and particularly with me, winning souls, writing books, writing brochures. You know, I enjoyed all that. The Lord called me to do it. But now it's like bitter here.
Yeah.
It's like God's preparing us. He's preparing us that we don't belong here, that we belong in heaven. Well, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's preparing us, Coach. He's preparing us that this is enough here. Look at the sin. Look at the corruption. Look with this. Look at the New World Order and where that's heading. So I believe he's preparing his people, Coach, that it's time now. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
You're right. You know, you were talking about the things you do. I got my TV show, The Fire Report. They quit printing my editorials anymore because I'm not allowed to stand up for what the Bible says. You know, I'm condemned with the censorship, so they quit that out. I got to sit in the radio with you and Dale Henkel in the past, Derek Noel, Cliff Parks, Joe Larson, Hal Larson. You know, I've had to, in the past 15, 16 years, I've been blessed in an honor from God to be on with you guys, and I've learned and grown with all you guys. You sharp iron sharpens iron, and you know in these last couple of days, I get one thing out of life beside, you know, my church family and reading the Bible and witnessing. You know, down in Ohio State, we got a quarterback by the name of C.J. Stroud. And yeah, the Buckeyes got a chance to win a national championship this year. But every time they put a camera, a microphone in front of this young man, the first thing C.J. Stroud says, first of all, I want to give all the glory to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, I wouldn't be here. When they talk to any of the receivers, Najigba, Fleming, Ballard, Abab, the first thing those young men say is, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gets all the glory. There's a little bit of hope that I see some young guys that are playing college football out of all the rest of you that actually honor Jesus on every chance of microphone. You don't see that hardly today around the world, John.
You're right. It's really only in America, I think, is where you would see it.
Yeah, and we get some hope. When I turn the radio on and I hear a pastor preaching on sin, I'm like, thank you, dear God. There's a man with boldness. He's talking about repentance. He's talking about judgment. He's warning the people. Where are you pastors out there? Where are you in your congregations? Are you going to sit there for 20, 30 years and have ice cream socials and put two verses up on a big screen and say how wonderful it is and tell stories? Or are you going to let those grandma and grandpa, those mom and dads and those families go to hell? You're going to have a greater damnation. I'm going to be held accountable for everything that comes out of my mouth. John's going to be held. All of us that preach the word of God, we're going to be held accountable. I'm calling for help. All you pastors out there, moms and dads, start reading your Bible at the table. Let the kids see you. Warn them there's a hell. Even if they get mad, cuss, slam the door, plant the seeds. Come on, John. All hell's getting ready to break loose. I don't want to be here. I want to be with the Lord and all the rest of us Christians up in heaven and in pearly gates where we never get old, never get sick, and we have joy forevermore. Sign me up. Let's go.
Well, you started the show with that train, didn't you?
You got it, brother.
Yeah, well, you're one of the, you got the engineer. You're one of the conductors telling everybody get all aboard.
People get ready. There's a train a-leaving. And I tell you what, like John said, that this man that shows up, he's going to come in and you're going to love him. He's going to be way better than Barack Obama. Those words are going to flow out of his mouth. He comes in as a man of peace. He's going to have all the answers for a while. But then 3.5 years, that snake in the grass turns, baby, and he starts marking his own. And everybody, if you can't buy or sell, how are you going to get groceries? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to go to the hospital, the dentist, the doctor? How are you going to do unless you take that mark? If I were you, I'd hit that dirt tonight and get alone and say, Lord, you know who I am. I'm no good. I'm a sinner. You came to save me. Here, save me, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be born again. That's what this radio ministry is all about, ain't it, John?
Absolutely. I mean, we can see it all coming together. Years ago, it was off in the future. You know, it was off in the future, the man of sin coming. You just knew it wasn't going to happen then. But now, with everything coming together, it's the science that's there, the world control, the bringing computer controls, digital control of everything. They want to bring all the money, folks, digitize it, and then they'll control you. They'll say, you can't buy this, you can't buy that. You can only have so much money for this, so much. They will control every area of your life. And that's not even with the man of sin here yet. It's coming.
And
no, your medical records, all of that. And we are looking not for that. We're warning of that.
Yeah.
But we are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We are looking for him. You know why, folks? There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do to maintain your salvation. You can write all the checks you want. You can support every radio ministry that preaches the gospel you want. You can hand out all the tracts you want. You can attend every church service you want. You can go to every Bible meetings you want and still go to hell. But when you turn around and say, I'm no good, Father, forgive me of all my sins. I don't stand a chance at your judgment. I accept what Jesus did on that cross. He shed his blood to wash my sins away. He was stripped naked and beaten and hung on a cross with a crown of thorns, and he died to pay for my sins. The Bible said that he took all our sins upon him. So if you called upon him, your sins go on him, and therefore you are buried with Christ when he put him in the ground, and when he arose 3 days later, you are guaranteed eternal life. You can't maintain your salvation. Your salvation is kept in heaven when the Father and the Son. And the best thing about it, John, is when I read in the scripture that when Dwayne Risco asked God to save him and forgive him, that the Father imputed his Son's righteousness to my account. So when I die, he sees a righteous Dwayne, not a sin-laden dude that used to live a horrible life.
Amen. And that goes for everybody that trusts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior.
Isn't that what this program's been about for years? You guys have been warning about everything that's gone wrong in government, in our school systems. Get them out of the fool systems. You've warned about false religions, about the TV prosperity preachers. You've warned about the mark of the beast. You guys, for all these years, have laid the groundwork. I feel sorry for people out there who's listened, who has heard this faithfully and never made a decision for God. Could you imagine, John, after hearing all these broadcasts and never got alone and trusted in Christ, what it's going to be when they take their last breath? Why don't you warn them what it's going to be like?
Yeah, Coach, I was sidetracked here while you were speaking. So I'm sorry that I missed that.
When a person that listened to this radio broadcast for all these years and heard the plan of salvation and heard over and over how to get saved, and they never made that commitment, could you imagine how they're going to feel when they take their last breath and they never trusted Christ and they've heard this message over and over for years?
It's horrible to think of. At abortion centers, when I oftentimes I would speak to people and I would tell them the truth and repent and receive Christ. And I said, if you don't receive Christ, the last thing you're going to hear at the white throne judgment of God is, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for Satan and his angels. And they were told the truth. They were told forgiveness, eternal life, repentance. And they're going to hear that. That's what's going to ring in people's ears for eternity, Coach. For eternity. So it doesn't have to happen, folks. If you're listening and if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe in God sent Jesus, coaches have mentioned it already several times, to die on the cross, shed his blood to pay the price for our sin, so that he takes the penalty for our sin, and his righteousness is imputed into us. God sees his righteousness in us. We have eternal life. That's what you have to believe. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And also, Coach, that he rose from the dead. That's very important.
Yes.
Belief.
Yes.
He rose from the dead.
Bodily.
God bodily rose from the dead. God is your Abba Father. So it takes repentance of sin, turning around from living for yourself and sin through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Bible, Christ and the Bible, confessing with your mouth. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. God, and God is no respecter of persons. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. Amen, Coach?
Amen. It's a one-time deal, folks. God did it one time on the cross. It takes, if you mean it with God, he'll save you. Just like that. No rituals, no formulas. If you're in your heart, hey, you know who you are. You know what kind of thoughts you've had. You know what kind of mouth you've had. You know if you had to stand before God for all the things that you did wrong in your life, you wouldn't make it. And there are some of you out there that say, well, you know, John, I'm not that bad. I'm a good person. I go to church occasionally, and I give money to the societies to help the needless, the poor. I don't go around killing people, beating people up. You need to talk to those people down the street because I'm not that bad of a person. What would you say to those people?
I would say that the Bible says you're wrong. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that person will have to give account of all the sins they committed at the Great White Throne Judgment and then face what the Bible calls the lake of fire. That can all be, right now, no one has to face the Great White Throne Judgment by confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repentance of sin and confessing Christ.
That's it.
That's bottom line.
Salvation is the easiest thing in the world. The devil got traditions and denominations and different religions to put all these formulas. So you walk around with a scorecard in your back pocket and a ball of chain. Well, did you commit a sin today? Well, you might not go to heaven. Well, did you have lustful thoughts? Well, you committed adultery, so God's not going to forgive you. No. That is slavery. Pastor Parks did as many sermons called saying, I'm not on probation. I have been pardoned. When you get saved and get on your knees, your life's not automatically going to change overnight. Like John says, you might have to battle and God will work some things out. Now, God does change people instantly for some, and for some, it's a process of sanctification we go through. But John, being saved, it's a one-time deal with the heart with the Lord Jesus, correct?
Oh, yeah. That's the start. That's the start. That's the foundation. That's where our eternal life is built on, our relationship, the confessing of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we grow. The Bible says grow in grace. So we grow in Him.
And the more that you read the Bible, folks, if you're new and beginning and just getting saved, read the book of John and read the book of Romans in the King James Bible. Then get into Proverbs and Psalms. And that's like putting together a portfolio of God telling you, if you do this, I'll do that for you. Then you'll find out when you're sick, when you're hurting, when you're lonely, when you're in trouble, you can call upon Him and He can help you. But don't try to fight things yourself. Get on your knees first. Get in the Word, and then watch God do His best work when you keep your mouth shut and let Him handle it. Right, John?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We got 2 minutes, John. Is something you'd like to say to the folks before we wind this show down?
Well, I'd like to remind everybody to please keep Pastor Ernie in prayer. He is, like I said, he's indispensable. And so I'm going to help him. I'm sure Coach is going to help him. So he can get back. I don't know when that'll be, but hopefully soon. So please keep Pastor Ernie in prayer. And I also would like to say, just remind you, I do have my blog. It's John McTernan's Insight. You can go to it at mct911.com. That's easy to get to. And my four areas I cover is wars and rumors of wars. Everything you'll see, you have a whole ton of information that you don't see in the main media. There, critical events that are happening, the medical issues, and what I call the 666 surveillance. If you look at my blog every day, you'll be on the cutting edge of exactly what's happening.
Well, that's great information. I appreciate that. We're running it down under a minute, folks. Thanks for tuning in. I love you. Pastor Sanders, John McTernan loves you. If you want to see what my ugly mug looks like, go to YouTube and type in Duane Risco, D-U-A-N-E-R-I-S-K-O. Hey, husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Hey, help the needy and the poor. Make sure you support this radio ministry. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. Let all bitterness and wrath in your life go. Call upon Jesus. Make Him the number one in your life and watch your life change. He changed my life. He could change your life. Remember, love always wins. Jesus is God. He is our Savior. He is the only way to heaven. Until the next time, I want to say, remember, always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.